CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is Thursday morning, which means the Burning Platform, and this is what we do on a Burning Platform Thursdays. We decide what we're going to make sense of when it comes to all the big stories in the news. We try to talk to the people who are at the center of those news stories. We try to talk to people who are connected to all the ways that we can analyze these stories and make the world a little bit more understood. And Pumi is going to start us off this morning before we get to Neil Dabir and introduce him to you. It won't be the first time that he's been on the show, but Pumi's got some interesting updates for us around by-elections. I'm not even sure where these are. She'll tell us in a second.
There was
but
one.
But these are always, it's always a good, well, that's one is enough. A good indication of what could and might happen in the whole election, the big election, which is happening, of course, time between now and June. The president's going to make an announcement. But Pumi, what do you got for us?
So by-elections, you know, by-elections are important because they're the only gauge that we have right now of how things are shaking up in terms of what people are voting, how people are voting and how they are showing up for at the election stations. So yesterday there was a by-election in Northern KZN in Vryheid, Ward 8. In the district is called Abaqulusi, and this is the first by-election that had MK on the ballot.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yes, yeah?
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So first by-election with the MK on the ballot. And the IFP has retained, they were the incumbent and they've retained the seat with 47% of the vote. The ANC got 31% of the vote. Both of those have gone up. The IFP has gone up by 13%. The ANC has gone up by 15%. And in third place, screeching in third place with 19% of the vote is MK.
Hmm. Wow.
And then the EFF in fourth place with 1% of the vote. So they lost ground. They lost 4%. Although I must say, here's the caveat, that the DA and the FF did not participate in this by-election. And it's important to know that Vryheid is a somewhat diverse area. So it's not predominantly black or predominantly white. It's in KZN, it's in the Northern KZN, but that's, there you have it, friends. There you have it.
So what do you pull out of this? What do you think of this?
So that the MK is gonna be a factor in KZN. It is going to be a factor in KZN. It's interesting to me that the DA and the FF weren't on the ballot. The DA previously had 32% of the vote. And maybe those voters went to the IFP because the IFP gained 13%. But that 19% is not a small percentage. Not a small percentage to look at.
But I wonder if you were let's say you were a Freedom Front or a DA voter and they weren't on the ballot, which they weren't this time, who would you go for?
You know, in KZN, in a lot of areas in the KZN, particularly in the north, the DA has a coalition agreement in some of those places with the IFP. So maybe people voted for the IFP. But I think more than likely, the staunch ones didn't go vote.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's an interesting place to start because people are looking for indicators. They're looking for ways that they could predict what's going to happen as we head towards the elections. But one person who is full of passion and has plenty to say about what's going on in the political environment at the moment is the United Independent Movement's leader, founded the party back in... When was it that you founded this, Neil? I can't even remember now. When did the UIM start? How are you?
Good morning, Mulwenny.
Morning.
2021, Gareth. That's, I think you were the second radio platform or podcast platform that interviewed us. So
That's right. Well, it's good to see you back.
Thank you.
And how's it going for the United Independent Movement? How are you guys doing?
Gareth, I don't know. Every day we wake up and we say to each other, what are the chances? And then we went to the local elections. I raised my voice. And we've got three metros. We've got a councillor in Cape Town, a councillor in Joburg, and in eThekwini. And, you know, we only have 42 days to make a decision. And we've grown dramatically. We are now a voice. And obviously, recently, we joined the multi-party charter, and we play a very critical role within steering that. But I think my style of politics, of just telling you how it is, abruptly, and keeping to the truth, has kind of lashed a lot of people seeing about what politics actually, I think, Gareth, should be. It shouldn't be about anything else except telling the truth and just getting to the bare knuckles. So, yeah.
Let's get to the truth, because your party is small and you are contesting a lot of different parts of South Africa, and each of those require a huge amount of funding. Do you have enough money? And do you have enough support to contest in these many places that you want to run?
I don't think any political party can ever have enough money. It's like walking into a steak restaurant and saying, hey, do you have enough onion rings? I mean, we always want more. I mean, this is just what you want. We have enough. I'm a realist. I was a businessman prior to coming to politics. So I understand, you know, except for the Minister of Finance, I can count. And a person gets a little bit realistic. So we have enough money to contest. We have enough people to look at where we want to be. And I always say, Gareth, if you are realistic, you can dream, but there comes a time of realism. And yeah, we have enough. We have enough financial backing to do what we want to do. And someone said to me, what is your role in the multi-party charter to get 50 plus one? And I said, very good morning. My name is Neil De Beer, and I am plus one.
So,
all right. Well, you got to start somewhere.
So, what's your realistic number? What's your realistic number? Last week we had Gayton here, and he said his realistic number is 12%. What's your realistic number in terms of the voters? What do you think you can pull?
You have to have a guy like Gayton. I mean, that says Beaufort West is Dubai. I think if we really push for, I think 2 or 3 national seats minimum, and we're looking at about 2 provinces where we would get a MPL. And I think in the total sum, 1.25, 1.8%, I think that's where we'll be.
Mm. Neil,
let me just read these results to us of this by-election, and it seems that some of these parties aren't even taking part in, you know, wards like Vryheid, for example. So, What are the places that you are not interested in contesting, and where do you think your best chances are? Because if you're a small party, you have to be tactical about where you go and where you're likely to score. And I mean, I even saw this comment. There's a lot of questions in one, Neil, but I think you can handle it. Xavier says, or Xavier, whatever, how you pronounce it, Xavier says, why wouldn't I just vote for the Freedom Front or the ACDP rather than the UIM? Aren't your values just the same?
No, definitely not. Firstly, Gareth, I'm not a politician. I come from an intelligence background within government, as you know, and I also come from a global business understanding. I think the people must understand that you have a voice. People are screaming, why so many parties? Gareth, we're going into an absolute different era of politics in this country. You must remember we've had an era of political dominance by the National Party, and undoubtedly an era of dominance in the past 30 years of an ANC party. There really hasn't been true democracy in this country. I always say the ANC got democracy by surprise. I mean, when we went to Kodesa, we had to buy suits for certain people. So, you know, we're coming from this point of, may I say, kind of cult understandings of politics, that no matter if you don't care about the manifesto, you bloody go vote for them, because there's the t-shirt that kept the street wise to the 500 milliliter Coca-Cola and a bus that takes you to vote. I always tell people the ANC does not do politics. Wormai. They are not listening to me. I was 32 years in the ANC. The ANC in election time does not do politics. They do logistics. So when you look at a small party like us, we have a say in the new era of coalition politics. Why would you vote for the UIM and not the ACDP or the DA? But jy's bloody gat vol vir die ou wat daar staan. You just had enough. He's been yapping for 30 years. he's not kept the main man at bay. The hyenas has been chowing at the Springbok carcass, and the oppositions have just been flinging points of order. You've got a person here that knows the ANC incredibly well, does not believe that this is the ANC of my time, and that has decided to stand up. And I know my voice is heard. With a multi-party charter, Gareth, a smaller party that's in the MPC, at the end of the day, when we take 50 plus one, then you are going to look at part of the government. So it actually doesn't matter. Choose a party that has drawn the line, how significant it's become. Plain and simply, you now choose a leader in the MPC, not in specifically the party. Because if we win, when we win 50 plus one, you can then say, but I want Neil de Beer as a person that speaks to me. But they fight the other strong thing. And then you go to that thing, and then we'll combine. Remember, the law says we've got 14 days after the IEC says this was a free and fair election to then put a cabinet down. And we've started that.
All right. Neil, you're the first person that we get to speak to who comes from the ANC and an MK background. I would very much love to know what your view is with the MK breakaway and with Jacob Zuma and what he is saying and doing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I think the combination of a charismatic man like Umsholozi now combining to something, and this is very important for people to hear, and I am open for debate with any of these leaders that so-called come from the liberation struggle. The uncapping, may I say, Gareth, may I say the uncapping of the pressure cooker of members that are from Mkonte Wesizwe, but now the real one, eh? Not the one that's 23 years old and still says he's a military veteran. But the real one, you know, the real one. The one that didn't get his colonials. The one, sorry, the ones, you know, that are walking around and that, oh, sorry, got a bit of a cold. And from my point of view, there has been no one in this country that got up and said, but the liberation fighters must be taken care of. They did not. So I'm telling you, the day and the minute that they split the MK veterans, because you know there were two factions, there was the Cyril choice, and then there was the other choice. MK suddenly has got a leader that is saying, why don't we form a political party as the previous military wing of the liberation struggle? We take this into a political scenario, we contest, and what you've got now is a groundswell of the actual liberators that were never recognized. They are going to cause tantamount torpedo shots at the bow of this ruling party. And I'm telling you, if Suki Cyril Ramaphosa, Suki Matosukum, if he does not call this election within the first 2 months, between 1 May and 31 August, MK is going to go to 10-15%.
Oh, wow.
So you're saying a big impact. And huge. Jacob Zuma himself, I mean, we know he has massive support in KwaZulu-Natal, but across the rest of the country, do you think he'll have an impact there as well?
He's going to fire four bell shots. One of them is going to be unconditionally KZN, where he is the strongest. Mm-hmm. He's going to go in there, and he has, and then he's going to attack Gauteng on a strategy. He's going to go into Mpumalanga, and his last drop-off zone is Limpopo. He's got good buddies there.
Interesting.
Being a strategist, he's going to go one. Obviously, there is a little bit, Gareth, of an inclination to also go to the, can I call it traditional clan, traditional background from where he comes from. So one cannot dispute that the big battle in actual fact is going to be the IFP with Slabisa running it and leading it at the moment, Honorable Slabisa, and obviously JC. There's going to be a big contestation. I don't even think the ANC is going to bat one wing to be relevant. I think that's where the battle is going to be.
Sure. Okay. Now, what happens in opposition politics in places like Gauteng and the Western Cape? Because we can... We can moan and whine and gnash our teeth about rural areas. And as much as Pumi's by-election result may indicate all kinds of changes on the playing field, I think it is relevant. We really are a nation of two kinds of voters. There are urban voters and there are rural voters. Sure. And I think the urban vote is probably much more interesting to the people who listen to this show. And it's more interesting to people who are worried about the economy, people who are worried about service delivery, because those things that they fall apart in metros are massive, massive problems. When a small little town in rural Northern Cape or KwaZulu-Natal starts having trouble with its service delivery, so many people are affected, but fewer people are affected than in the big metros. So government has a larger cost problem for the average voter if it doesn't go right in these metros. So what do you think of the urban environment, and who do you think is going to be the beneficiary of urban votes and the change in voting patterns that's been happening over the last 10 years in urban environments in South Africa?
Gareth, I said to a group of businessmen yesterday when they said to me, unpack what is the next 90 days. What is the strategy where the metros are looking like so and the metros are looking so? Yeah. I think what we have to realize, one, they are going to be probably four times the amount of parties contesting this national provincial election than before. Secondly, you're going to have a wider spectrum of choice. I don't know if you've noticed, Pumzi, but I think you have. There's been a revival on certain, may I say, cultural aspects of nations, the so-called colored brown nation. I find a massive revolution of that background coming into specifically the Western Cape. And that's why people like the Gated Mackenzies, the people like the NCCs are now flocking that. I say the poor voters currently in the traditional metro areas, they are sardine ball. The sharks, the stingrays, the dolphins, and the barracudas, we are all coming in, but we're stealing from the same pool. So within the urban area, without a doubt, I think the ANC has put a non-negotiable target on Gauteng, definitely the Western Cape, and there's going to be a battleground now to look at also KZN where they can dip in. So I'm telling you, the UIM are not contesting very clearly all provinces in this country. We are also targeted focused. Nationally, right. We will be on the ballot, obviously, because we have a huge national reach. But for example, we've only chosen the centers that we are comfortable with.
Which are
Western
those?
Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, and Gauteng. And we are looking at this moment at broadening out. I'm just talking, Pumzi, about the provincial ballot. In other words, the provincial.
So,
as Gareth said, we choose our shots. We definitely are focusing, and I think more of us are going to see that the metro contestation, very interesting what you said, that the DA and the Freedom Front did not even partake in that by-election. The reason why is they choose their shots.
Neil, you're talking about choosing shots, and you're talking about eating from the same pool. And the numbers now that the IEC has called, that they're 27 million on the voters' roll. Why not go for a new voter? There's a lot of talk about the young vote. There's a lot of talk about where they sit. And when I have my marketing hat on, it's much easier to get a new customer than to try and change an old customer, to change somebody who's already got a brand that they believe in. Why are you eating from that pool and not going for new voters?
For me, again, you hit it nail on the head. I am telling the people in this country that the people that were voted, the people that voted for the ANC, voted for the DA, etc., you will very rarely be able to win them away. Yeah, you will be a small percentage. The key to the change of this country can only be done if the unvoted, if the past people that were not interested in the restaurant, the menu, the appetite, if they are not going to come in. I'm telling you, the X factor for all of us are exactly those people, Pumi, that you just said. It's the unvoted, non-voted, or previously not interested. That's our big hope. And if they come in, if even 5 million of them decide that this is more important than 1994, because 94 we voted to change a country, 2024 we're voting to save a country.
They weren't even allowed. So they weren't alive in 94. But what are you telling them? Why must they come to you?
I'm telling them very clearly that the voice of the youth, may I say the youth, is an uncapped market. No one's talking to the youth. No one's coming to them. You know, I stood in that now called groundbreaking speech last week, Thursday. And I got up there in front of the MPC and I said to them, the people that we have lost because of the utter rubbish, the utter non-performance, the absolute denigration of the word politics or the youth, they are not interested because we are not speaking to their palate. I am, in my way, speaking, and I've had huge success at the levels of the youth to make them bubble, to make them excited, and to tell them, this is your future. This is not mine. I am the custodian of you. So I'm going in there with everything we've got.
I want to just move on to some issues, because there's stuff that we could talk about with you that we wouldn't really talk about with everybody. And there's certain interests that you have, certain things that you think your constituency may be more interested in, and subjects which may interest many South Africans who listen to this show. So let's just talk about law and order, because it's a big part of what you stand for. What is wrong at the moment? How would you fix it?
You know, Gareth, you don't kill a tree by chopping out a branch. You kill a tree by removing the roots.
Yeah.
Law and order, where I come from, is exactly bloody that, but it is also based on three other things. Zero tolerance, met anavada. If you come down the road, Gareth, you focus on what we call the B crime. If you stop the B crime, you immediately annihilate the A crime. But to get the A and B right, you need to know the alphabet. Begitele. So the problem that we've got is that we are not young here. The Here shall ons help. Begitele. I mean, this man is a person which is a horror. I mean, he's more capitulating. Nena, I will insult this man every 15 seconds I've got. Because this man is like a pop-up window. He pops up at every crime, but he's got no philosophy of opening his own bloody IQ window. I moet vai man, because the problem we've got is Gareth, go with me. A man that walks on the street that's drunk, not all, but you will find the B crime guy that is under the influence, at the end of the day might stab someone that becomes an A crime. So remove the guy that's under the influence of alcohol. That's crime.
This is the Giuliani broken windows situation. So I hear you, but we have massive levels of endemic corruption. These roots that you talk about in the tree that you use as a metaphor, these roots go deep, and you know they're in business, they're in the army, they're in CADA deployment, they're in tenders, and frankly, I think a lot of South Africans have just thrown their hands up and they've given up, because to take this thing on, you have to take your life in your hands. I mean, there are lots of people who will try to kill you if you do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, they're trying hard. But, you know, if you come from where I come from, death is inevitable. Life is superb. Gareth, I know you. I've watched you. I've seen you from so many angles. And I always said, the people that get murd the loudest is the people that scream the loudest. But when you scream, scream with a little bit of substance. How many times have you been banned, ostracized? Because you come in and then you hit that nerve. Now, this country is at that precipice where last night, 11 o'clock at night, for example, a group of people decided to burn down structures near Carltonville because a group of hooligans decided that they own the town. A police van is standing looking at the perpetrators burning a man's business down. This is the essence of this country where we've got to. If you don't get what you want, you burn, maim, murder, and shoot. And that has become a political narrative. And I'm sorry, if we are going to change this country, I'm going to, may I launch on this platform, may I, Pumzi, sorry, can I give you my manifesto right here, right now?
I was going to ask you what your top three priorities are.
No, it's two. Okay. Uzimbeni. Only two, not 624 pages of cuck. Because let me quickly tell you, people want to drown you with rubbish and then they deliver nothing. Mine's very simple. It's two, Gareth. Jobs and justice. That's it. Simple. Jobs and justice. Because in this country, forget about, you know, the other narratives. Don't forget about it. But health and education, critical. But right now, jobs and justice. If we do not get the people of this country re-employed, by re-employing them, it will stimulate the economy, it will drive foreign-based investment, and it will give the people one thing that has been taken away by the apartheid government and this current government. It's called dignity. We've got to put the people back into jobs. It's as simple as that.
How?
And secondly, justice. So Pumi, I'll tell you how. Someone said to me yesterday, I said I will give the pensioner 4,950 rand, not 1,900. So the guy said, but Mr. President, how will you do it? I said, it's easy. Stop stealing. Stop stealing. Stop stealing the money. So that's part of justice. Gareth, how long have we sat with the Zondo Commission's 1,950 papers? Pumi, how long?
Well, you asked me because she's the one who's read it. She's the only person in the country who's read it.
Sure. How long?
But this week I missed the first 100 days. John Steenhuisen had his press conference, and I think they had a YouTube live. Sure. I missed it this week. Yes. About his first 100 days in office and what they would do. And then they're going to have their manifesto, I think, next week. But next week I'll be caught up, guys, before you say I hate the DA. I'll be caught up next week. This week I have a bereavement to deal with. But, okay, right. So talk about justice.
Pumzi, there's a charge sheet. I mean, it's as simple as that. I don't talk about the Zondo Commission's papers. I'm talking about a possible charge sheet. Of the people that have been named 3 years, 1.5 billion rand later, I am telling you, Pumzi, you should know, not even 2% of the people that were on public accusation of not just theft, bloody treason to this country. They've not been touched. Not at all.
Shamila Patoyi is halfway through her term. You know that, Gareth.
Last week.
I think last week, Wednesday. Last week, Wednesday was exactly halfway through her term. But
so you mean we still have another half to go, Pumi? Is that what you're telling me?
She still has a second half. Maybe she can still do some magic.
But Gareth, sorry, just on the question and what you said, justice. On the systems of justice, we must absolutely start asking the question of Bas Tabu. You know, when I sat back and I looked at the Minister of Police, I looked at the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Correctional Services, three of them sitting there and asking, where's Tabu? Where's Tabu, Mr.? Then they would say, no, but we arrested them. You had them. No, but you put your... That's the problem that we've got. So in our scenario, we are going to cut cabinet and we are going to implode certain ministries. For example, the Minister of State Security, Police and Correctional Services, Gareth, will be one minister. One minister must take responsibility. Because if we're going to sit with the police, correctional services and justice, they can continually blame each other. If you have one that oversees arrest, condition of corrections, incarceration, and justice. One man must take that position, and one man must stand, or one woman must account. That's it. I told Cyril, hey, Cyril. I mean, this is a man that went to go on a chopper to go fly around the bloody harbor to see how deep they're in the cuck. He had to go see it from an elevated position. And he flew a chopper which belongs to the Air Force, which I know here doesn't have fuel. So if Mozambique bloody attacks us tomorrow morning with a canoe, we bug it. I mean, we don't have a defense force anymore.
We've got them up in the DRC. They're part of the peacekeeping mission. They've landed. We've seen this.
Sorry, Neil, sorry, Bumi. Bumi, they just shot down one of our helicopters 2 days ago.
All right. So I want to get to, because it's fine to pile on to the president and the ANC. It's become a national sport in this country. Sure. But Azalea says here, what have you guys done? Because like the EFF, you don't own or run or govern in any particular ward. You may be kingmakers in certain places. You may have influence here, there, and everywhere. What have you actually done as the United Independent Movement? How can you prove that you're not just hot air?
I think if you go look what we've done in the Western Cape, for an example, we are one seat, Gareth, one seat in that council. I sit on nearly 6 or 8 committees.
Mm-hmm.
The voice that you carry, my vice president, Fatima Abdul, who's in Johannesburg,
no.
One seat, but fights like 20. So what people must realize is you might not currently have the capability of 4 seats in vote. But when you bring a new dynamic, a fresh approach where you say, politicians there, we the people here, we went in for the people. We are not trained politicians, businessmen and people that come from a socioeconomic background. What has the UIM done? I'll tell you what we've done. We've changed the narrative for thousands and thousands of people in this country that if you remain in the bloody truth, you react when you are called on the ground. Like tomorrow, I am now having to go up to Johannesburg to go to a community that's broken. One man, one woman, I'm telling you right now, Gareth, can make a change if that person truly believes that the people must govern.
So you mentioned you said deputy president, Fatima?
Yeah.
Right. Fatima, so
she's in the comments.
Yeah, and she's busy this morning, and I think she's made an interesting and I think an excellent point. So Azalea says this sounds like angry white guy politics. And she replied immediately and said, how about just an angry South African citizen? How much does race need to play a role? How much do you think it already does? And how little should it in the ideal situation? Because unfortunately, this is how a lot of people think. It may not be how you and Fatima think, but it might be how other people think when they see you ranting and raving and saying the things that you say, many of the things that I suppose the majority of us in this country will agree with. They do see an angry white man. And this is like a label. This is like, you know, the angry black woman label, which I know Pumi's had to deal with a number of times when she just expresses a passionate opinion about something. Right, Pums? I mean, it's enough of that. How do you deal with this stuff, Neil? And how do we get past it, frankly?
It's sad. I mean, it's sad that we're back to brown, black, Indian, and white. That's not what I fought for. Gareth, I will also, if I may, class you as one of those that does not see color.
I don't.
Yes, but you are.
I'm drawn into it. I'm drawn into it. The reason 1988 I joined Umkhonto we Sizwe as a white guy, as an Afrikaner, was I could not understand the concept of color of your skin, but I could understand that your soul and your heart is red. I can't see it. But every day, Gareth, hear me what I'm saying. When we fought with Madiba and we did the so-called Rainbow Nation, it was never supposed to be about color. It was about unity. Agree with me today. We have taken that rainbow and it's back at black and white. And I'll tell you who's at fault. It's the politicians. It's Julius Frikkie Jelly Tot Malema. This man drives the narrative. He drives it. Then you get Gayton. You get people that want the colored vote and the black vote and the white vote. The UIM don't want that. We want the South African vote. This is the reality. The narrative I've got to go face in Groblersdal, where the Boere and the EFF and the ANC are physically going to battle in a small town, is absolutely race-based. And that's what makes me angry. I am angry because we're back there again.
Neil, you know, I want us to go back to the MPC that you are now a member of. And the reality of coalition politics. And how that works. When we look at what the numbers are, Ipsos had their poll come out this week and there's been quite a lot of hoo-ha about it and where they are pegging all of the numbers. And we've had lots of talk leading up even to the MPC with people within the DA saying that a workable coalition would be an agreement between the DA and the ANC in terms of that would be the best kind of workable government. And you are in an MPC that is essentially led by the DA. How do you feel about that kind of talk?
For me, they don't lead me. I think by now you look in my nice, kind blue eyes. You're not going to tell me what to do. So my attitude is I have a role to play. Yes, the narrative must be done. The propaganda must go out there that John and the DA is the back and the big brother. But trust me, every 2 weeks when the MPC leaders sit, I say my say and I get what I want. So we've got to start looking at a different narrative. Coalition partnerships are, as is in this country, not the best form that has been put on the table because it in many cases failed. But coalition government is a reality. And it must become a reality, because if you look at the numbers, and now I'm telling you, Pumi, the only way that this, can I call it multi-party charter, can make government is if we, as that MPC, bring the numbers. That's it. Nothing else counts. I am telling you, the DA will be capped at an X amount. Probably 25-26%. The Freedom Front X, the UIM plus one. But what is important to us, and I'll go back to what you said, Pumi, it is the people that have never voted before, that have never had that opportunity, or that was disenfranchised, that will come in and have to make a decision. And I'm telling you, we have drawn the line. You are either for change or you are part of the people that do not want change. That's it. There's no more in the middle. And that's where we are. We started as six parties in the multi-party charter. We are now 11. And it matters not the size of that party. It matters of how you weigh that party in its added value and contribution of its leadership. And I'm telling you, in the multi-party charter, it's a miracle on its own that we have come where we've come. But I'm very clear. We are going to stick to our guns. We hope that today that president who is outgoing will announce the date of the vote, and I think I know when. And then we go to battle at the ballot box. If this country wants change, Gareth, they are the people that must put the change into a cross and in a box, not us. And I'll tell you, can I? Two people showed me this country can do it. And funny. Those two were not politicians. One is called the Springbok team, and sorry, the other one is Driekus. And last night, at least Bafana gave them gas. It's not politicians that are going to, pardon me, got a bit of Julius in my throat. It is not going to be the politicians that will bloody change this country. It's the people of this country. In
right. It will be wrong of us to not talk about what you are expecting to hear this evening at SONA and what you think Cyril should talk about going into SONA.
Bumi has got to call it. I think he's got to call the date. If he calls that date, my opinion and analysis, you know, I always say, when you have a butchery and you're a butcher and you sell your butchery, you don't stop eating meat. Ne? So when you leave the ANC, they don't stop talking to you. So what I'm saying at the end of the day is, for me, the ANC cannot keep this country together long enough. I think you agree. They can't keep this thing going. Load shedding, MK, I think he's going to call it sooner than later. I say last week of May or the first 2 weeks of April. That's where we're going. He's going to declare it. Unfortunately, the date says 1 May to last day in August. That's the law. So we can't call it now. He can't call it now, February, March, April. It's for May. I'm telling you, last week of May, And then he's going to have to look at the first 2 weeks in June. That's it. I'm telling you, he's going to call it in
June, not April.
Sorry. So, that's where we're going to go on the calling of that election. We can't keep it.
You know, to Pumi's point, though, that's just about the date for the election, and there are all kinds of people speculating about that. But what has he got to tell us? Because the State of the Nation address should be an opportunity for whoever is in charge to tell us about what they have achieved, to tell us how far we've come. These are the things the government can be proud of. I don't think that's a very long list. But he's also got, even though he may be, as you say, the outgoing president, he's still got to throw forward to what we may have coming up, to what the country can look to. Do you think he has any vision at all for what South Africa could be? Because we certainly haven't heard it. The last time we heard anything from him, I made this joke earlier about how it was that airport city they were going to build out at Lanseria. I don't think anything's happened there. But are there any other things that he could throw into the speech which would get your attention?
An apology. And that's going to be difficult.
Gareth, can I share some numbers with you?
This man has two words. Pumi would, Gareth, he's got two words. And I'm sorry, every time that he says this, I look at myself and I say to myself, this is not a statesman, Gareth. He uses the words projects and programs. Mm. Projects and programs. Mm. This is not what this country wants to know, Gareth. They want to know the projects and the programs that you've done in the past year. How many of them can you physically tick box? This is a man that opens a tap at a certain venue and calls that success. I'm sorry. He hasn't got it. He can't put it on the table. He can't sell it. And he doesn't have the checkbook. He doesn't have it. And that's it. So we are going to listen to a sonar, which is going to be filled with a lot of garbage, a lot of regurgitation, and someone's going to eat a nice sandwich tonight on my account.
I would like to just remind people some numbers about where we come from with and where we are with Cyril. I think a lot of people have forgotten about all that COVID corruption. Do you remember all the money that was stolen during COVID?
Have we? 500 million.
This is after Cyril stood in front of us in one of those family meetings and said, it will not happen. There will be no stealing of money. Ooh. And yet there was. But
and he had the pup for me. He had the pup sitting in one day. Yeah.
I don't remember anything about those times. I don't remember the pup and the whatever. But you know, we are now sitting at a place. When Cyril in 2019 became president, we had $166 billion national debt, which has now ballooned to $298 billion. I don't know if he's going to talk about that. We've got unemployment that has gone up from 29.1% in 2019 to 31.9%. That's general unemployment. If you think about youth unemployment, that's gone up from 43% to 58%. This is in Cyril's 5 years. So if he comes up there and talks about a wasted 9 years, I think there is a lot to answer for from young Cyril.
Gareth, can I say something? Pumi, I don't know if you know it. I was part of South African rugby.
No, I don't.
I was part of the management of the under-21 Springbok rugby team that won the World Cup in Argentina in 2005. I don't know if you know.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't.
Yeah. We won that World Cup. We won that World Cup in 2005 because we believed in only three things. That team, although being from every race, every religion, and every background, that team would fight for each other. Number two, that we, the 36 young men, taking them overseas to represent a country, knew the responsibility that we had a country to fight for. And lastly, we knew that a victory for us would be a victory for a nation. For me, I'm not always cross, you know, I'm not always spewing, But when we were sitting on that stadium ready, Malvinas, to fight, there were better coaches always in the stadium. I'm not a better coach sitting and chastising Cyril, slapping the ANC. I was part of that for many years. This country must start looking at one thing, Gareth, I'm afraid that we've lost, and that is hope. We are an abused country. We've gone through so much, looting, load shedding, the times of COVID, as Pumi said. What's left? What's really left? To say to the people, mistakes were made, we take responsibility, but I, as the president of this republic, I take accountability. I would have done that, because by doing that, you are taking accountability for mistakes that were made, but at least you know the mistakes were made and you can fix it. And I don't think Cyril has it. I don't think the ANC has it. And that's what we need to do.
Neil, I do want to go back to these numbers that Pumi's talking about. And Xavier in the comments has said, national debt, $450 billion or 76,000 Rand a person. That means each citizen now owes 76,000 Rand. And we've got 32% unemployment. We can't pay those debts. And this government is just getting us more and more into trouble. One of the reasons, Pumi, you'll agree with me on this one, is that we have an enormous state. We have a massive bureaucracy, and people there get their increases regardless year after year because they're also unionized. And those unions are in bed with the government. So it's an easy thing to go into the meeting. You say to your brother or your sister, hey, listen, how about a 6 or 7% increase? They go, yeah, that sounds good. You come to an arrangement. All it does is cost the citizen more money. The average citizen in this country cannot possibly be stretched any further than we already are. What other numbers have you got, Pumi?
Two. I've got numbers, baby. I've got numbers. Give me a second. Let me open this up.
Neil, we'll have Neil's comments on these things, because I think this is what people are going to be talking about.
You've just got to
fuel price. Shall we talk about the fuel price? Do you remember what it was in 2019? We're currently sitting at 22 Rand, I think. 22 Rand a litre. We come from 16 Rand.
Sure. I mean, look at the Rand dollar.
There we go.
Rand dollar exchange. Rand dollar exchange, if you're thinking of going to the States. In 2019, it was at 14.44. Currently, I think 18 something, 1890 or something of that sort. This is.
But Gareth, can I tell you what's interesting, Pumi, about our country? Just listen to this. There's one saving grace about us. There are many. South Africa is not classified as an oil tanker in its change, in its capability to change. We are a speedboat nation, Gareth. That's a classification. This country has the...
I don't understand.
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
Speedboat.
I'm giving you umkhobol. Let me tell you. We are not India, Pumi. We are not India. We are not a country that has got 1.3 billion people. For a country like China, a country like India, a country like the United States, etc., they are classed as a oil tanker country. In other words, to change the trajectory of that country with 1.3 billion people, it can only change at the speed of an oil tanker when an oil tanker turns. An oil tanker takes 18 kilometers to turn. We are not that. South Africa is a speedboat country. In other words, if we focus and if we then decide that a direction must be changed, what I'm saying is we have the capability of turning an economy, turning the trajectory, turning the future of a country like South Africa quicker than what you can have a country that is a oil tanker. That's the analysis.
All right.
If we get it right, our country with bar 60 million people facing a country that's 1.3 billion can effectively change the economy, get re-employment, make sure that our foreign direct investment is spoken to, if everybody has the political will to do so.
What do you think are the things that we need to change the trajectory of the country, to get your jobs and justice right? What are the things we need to change?
The first thing we need to do is we need to change from having red tape to red carpet, to me. This country's attitude is based on red tape, not red carpet. So, Gareth said it. You cannot continually have a group of communists and unionists sitting at the Thule House trying to run a democratic capitalistic society. Do the people not realize that the African National Congress is a communistic organization with socialistic attitude and nationalization in the total vision? Oil and water can go into one barrel, but they will never mix. So number one, you've got to change your attitude. When we took the Israel-Palestine scenario, it was based on an international decision, and we took the worst economic decision a country can. I say that again. I'm not talking about your view of Israel-Palestine. I'm talking about the country's economy. A country needs the economy. So the first thing I would do is I will review all our international trade contracts to become South Africa first for me. Why must I import chickens from Brazil? I mean, I'm not paying for a chicken. I'm paying for water. We can grow chickens and breed chickens here. So number one, South African economy first. Now, when I said that a week ago, someone said, ooh, Donald Trump. Huh? No, I'm not the SA Donald Trump. I'm not interested in building walls and draining the swamp. Do you know why? They stole the bloody bricks here to build the wall.
Look, you've got a lot of punchy little one-liners, Neil, and it's always entertaining to have you on the show. And I think your justice and jobs, if anyone has come up with a good line, it's that. I mean, I really think that speaks to a lot of South Africans. I hope you get some support. I hope that you guys manage to make an impact in the national elections and in the various provinces where you're contesting this. Who do you think your biggest opposition is? Who do you think you're most likely in people's minds to be compared to? And who do you think people would vote for if they don't vote for you?
I think, Gareth, we are factually basing ourselves to the, and I'm saying it, we are very much aligned to attract the minorities, may I call it. Our vote comes extensively from the minorities, being the Indian community, the colored community, and the white community, and specifically within the white community, the blue-collar worker, the person that's on the ground. So factually, our statistics show that the minority groupings have based us for many reasons. We are making inroads, slowly and surely, in the other segments of the demographic. But I don't think I have anybody in this country, with due respect, that is my opposition. I think the biggest opposition I've got in this country is the apathy and the attitude of others. So clearly, I don't knock other leaders because they're doing well themselves.
Sure. All right. Well, I mean, listen, there's a lot to chew on here. I think you've given us plenty to think about this morning. And as I said, I wish all the parties luck. I hope that more South Africans turn out for this election than have for any of the other elections. And as you say, we need a strong mandate, right? We need people to come out there and say, this is what we want, and to give their leaders a strong mandate so the leaders don't have any wiggle room. So they don't have to mess around on the outside and pretend that they can get away with hot air and rhetoric. We need action. I spoke to two authors of a book that they've written, South Africa's Scenarios, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, on Tuesday, Pums. Ray Hartley and Greg Mills. And I said to them, because they were talking about what people might vote for and all the rest of it, I think it's going to be about action. I think people want to see stuff happen. And that's why we had Gayton on last week. That's why we've got you on this week, Neil. Not that I'm comparing you, but I think people are also sick to death of hearing promises. They want to see some action.
Gareth, may I say one thing before you feasibly listen?
Go ahead.
One of the most important, can I call it, segments of this country is yourself. and Pumi, the media, be it social media or media.
Yeah.
You are the catalyst that can absolutely give everybody some airtime to view us. And may I thank you for being one of the few people that give the smaller entities just as much voice as the rest. Because it is the small ones at the end of the day that also have a say in this democracy. And you've never stood back, both of you and your people. So thank you. I want to say thank you from me. I will see you again. I would love to invite you to Tainais when I move in, because we will build a bigger braai. So thank you very much. Siyabulela kialibucha. Namaste. By the way, I love Vietnam, but not Vietnam. I love Vietnam.
1-2% is a lot. 1-2% is a lot, and you definitely can shift something with that kind of power and voice. Good luck to you, Neil.
Thank you. Absolutely. God bless you all, and listen, have a great day.
Thank you very much. Well, Pums, it's a lot of responsibility on all of us. We've got to make sure that people are registered, vote, and vote smartly. It's no good to just go in there and throw your dart at the dartboard and hope that something, you know, good is at the end of it.
Although today, definitely the thing that's going to be stuck in my head is a hoender met water. It's a hoge spet. That's a lot.
We are going to, I'll just say to anybody who joined us this morning and was excited to hear from Neil, and people who are excited to hear from all the other leaders, we are going to try and get every one of the leaders of the parties on. That includes ANC, the EFF, and the DA, the three biggest parties in the country. We will do our best to bring you all three of those. They're the most difficult to get hold of, as Neil said earlier. The smaller parties are happy when they get some airtime to explain themselves, but we're going to try and bring everybody. Mm. So watch this space in the next couple of weeks. All right. Thank you.
Fabulous. See you next week, baby.
Thanks, Pums. We'll see you on next week, but we'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.